here tonight, Lord, to worship you and to sing praises and hymns about you, Lord. And we pray that you'll be with Pastor as he brings the message tonight, Lord. And we pray for safety and traveling with the winter weather and everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Okay, I want to welcome you tonight. Welcome out to our evening service here at Morrow Bible Church. Thanks for coming. Thank you for, again, braving those roads, snowy roads here in Morrow County. We still have some snow there on them, but thanks for coming out. If there's anybody out there on the live stream, thanks for joining us there. Or maybe later on, thank you for being with us. We want to thank Walker for the prelude tonight. Really appreciate Walker playing that prelude. And we hope that he keeps it up. Keep practicing that piano. The ladies meeting. We appreciate the ladies meeting tonight. They're doing some planning. They were here early at 5:30, the WMF. So we just appreciate them for doing that tonight. Special thank you for that. We will open it up for testimonies in a little bit and encourage you to think of a testimony you could share. Just how has the Lord been working in your life, or just a praise or a blessing? And so that's your warning to think of something. And we have our mic runner tonight is going to be Lillian. She has the mic, and so we'll just have you wait for the mic so everyone can hear you in the building and also online. And just remember to hold it up close to your mouth. It works best if it's closer there to your mouth. All right, announcements tonight. Just encourage you to join us for prayer if you can. Wednesday nights at 7, we have a prayer meeting here. Or if you want to join us on the phone, we have a couple people that are doing that. Thursday, 3:30. Is a time for community evangelism, if there's not another snowstorm, of course. And then our elders meeting is scheduled for this week, Thursday night at 6:30. February 20th, Morrow Manor has asked our church to come back and hold a service there. They believe it's safe to come back and have a service, so they've asked us to come, and we're planning on that third Sundays of the month. February 25th, the ladies are planning a church fellowship night, 6 to 9 p.m. Is that right? Giving these details out, but don't know if they're right. This was originally on their calendar for the 19th. They had a calendar of events they planned, but this got bumped back a little bit. So it's for all ages, and it's going to be a Hawaiian theme, Hawaiian luau. So you can wear your Hawaiian shirts, not skirts, but yes. Okay, there will be a food sign up with some ideas, Hawaiian food, whatever that is. So I'll try to figure that out. Okay, so that's the 25th, Friday night. The camp season is coming soon, and the registration is open, and the flyers are there in the foyer. The information is also online at the camp website, PinaleBibleCamp.org. We would also like to update the church directory for 2022, and so let me know if you have any updates for that, pictures or updated phone numbers, email, whatever you'd like in there. There is there's a directory form that's below the bulletin board if you want to use that, or you can just let me know by text or email what those changes might be. Again, we're glad to have Samuel here, and he's officially an intern assistant here now, and we're happy to have him back, and his family, his wife, and his two children. So really glad to have Finneran's back with us, and so Samuel's going to be here. Obviously, we're working him into the rotation on Sundays with playing the piano, and also going to have him do some leading and planning of our services, some in there. He's also going to be continuing his studies online, doing that, and our church is helping him with that. He's going to be preaching once a month or so to start out here. He'll be planning some youth activities, so we'll be looking forward to that. And so we're happy to have them with us. All right. Ben is going to come and just give us the missionary update from the Zartmans. So he's just going to read that letter from them.
It says, "Dear praying friends, as the old year was running out, Jean and I celebrated our 49th wedding anniversary on December 30th with our good friends in Saltillo, Daryl and Patty Klingon. From the time we met the Klingons about 25 years ago, they have been a great spiritual help and blessing to us. We thank God for their lives. The month of December is the time we give the Bible text calendars to our neighbors and other friends. Last year, we were unable to do this, having established the traditional tradition for the previous 15 consecutive years. Our souls rejoiced to hear the responses. Most, if not all, had missed having one for 2021. And many said they read the daily Bible verse, even people we thought had no interest in it. Pray for God's word to accomplish his purpose in the sowing. We thank the Lord that COVID-19 has not shut down the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Sunday services continue with the personal appearance emphasis. We have talked about stopping the use of the internet altogether, but then we had a family need to stay home because of the virus and another because of an operation. We are delighted to be able to meet and find the brethren enjoying one another's fellowship. God has provided several men who actively participated in church leadership and in preaching. We sense a need to spend as much time as we can with them so that they will be able to step up and take the lead, and the believers will follow their leadership. Much prayer will be required to accomplish this, so do help us in this area in your prayers for us in 2022. We thank the Lord for our four children and their families. We have observed over the years how children may be the cause for missionaries to leave their fields of service. None of our children have ever complained about our not attending their graduations, ordinations, and other important events. We have not made frequent visits to them, but have been delighted to have them visit us. We are grateful to the Lord that they are in all are serving the Lord, three of them in Spanish as well as English. Finally, we want to thank all of you who stand with us, some since 1965, and have partnered with us in ministry in Spain, Iceland, Uruguay, Colombia, and Mexico. May 2022 be a fruitful year for us all. We remain yours, the Zartmans. 1 Corinthians 15:58.
All right. We're going to sing from the handout now. So do you need a handout? It's the same one as this morning. So raise your hand if you need one. Anybody need one? Is Andrew going to go get them? Okay. They're down there in my office. Can you find them? Okay.
All right. We'll sing A Passion for Thee on the inside of the pamphlet. And let's stand.
Thank you.
we're going to open it up for testimonies here. And so would anybody like to be first with the testimony? Just raise your hand. We'll have Lillian run the mic over to you. But would anyone like to go first? Any testimonies tonight? Okay, Pastor Gossman, run that back to him. Make sure it's on there. Is that green light on? Okay. All right.
Just this evening before church, I got a text from Dr. Dahlhausen, and he said that that last Wednesday night that Tim preached there at Mount Calvary there in Greenville. I remember Tim as a I remember still when he was carrying a bottle around around church. And, you know, after they went to South Carolina a few years, a number of years later, I got a telephone call from Tim telling me that he had just accepted the Lord, wanted me to know that. And what a blessing it is to see those that have come up. We've had some little part in their lives, but to see the Lord's work and bring them on, and what a blessing it is to just to hear that and get that. And then we've got another young man here tonight that I remember as a boy, and what a blessing it's been to see Samuel to grow up here and then go off and serve the Lord, and this young lady here. With two little children, Tabitha. What a blessing it is to see the Lord's work in her life. I remember some of the struggles when she first came there to be with the Fries, and what a blessing it is. We just and then see these two little ones, another generation coming up, and may the Lord work in their hearts and bring them to Himself. And we're just. Just want to know, Samuel and Tabitha, we're very proud of you. We're praying for you and love you very much. So.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Anybody else tonight? Any other testimonies? Anything you want to praise the Lord for tonight? Just anything you want to share tonight? Okay. Samuel? Run it over to him there.
Well, it's good to be back here. And I haven't really had an opportunity to share my testimony about how God's been working in our lives over the past year. So it's going to be a little longer than Pastor Gossman's there. But I just felt you guys have had a perspective of this, but you haven't seen the whole story about how God's been working in this. And... But you know how God worked to move us down south. And Marlene complained because God didn't give her enough time to pray that He would keep us here. but she didn't waste time after we left, did she? but no, God made it very clear that He wanted us to move down south. And there was no other decision for us to make. God sold our house the day that we put it on the market. And so we surrendered to his leading there to South Carolina. And God greatly blessed our ministry there with the teens and with the music program there and just grew us in ways that some in ways that we didn't even know that we needed growth in. But God has just really blessed us through our willingness to follow Him in that. We weren't looking for a way out or looking for to move on to another ministry. But Pastor Howard had reached out to me a year ago from January and asked if I would have any interest in coming back here. And I said, you know, if the Lord makes it evident that that's what He wants us to do, sure, I'd be interested in that. And I said, so, you know, we can start praying about that and see what doors God opens up or, you know, what closes and just see what God's will is in this. And so we did. We committed to prayer and prayed over the next year, really. But during that time, the board interviewed my wife and I and asked us several questions and just wanted us to just to make sure that this was something that we wanted, something that they wanted. And so when we progressed from there, we kept praying. I prayed in the same way that I prayed about God moving us down south, and that was to pray in specific ways that God would answer and specific ways to reveal His will to us. And I made up a list of specific things that I wanted God to answer, to reveal His will through. And He answered each one of those requests that I'd asked Him specifically. And it came down to the church vote, and the church voted unanimously to accept us. And my wife felt at that point that was God confirming His will. And I didn't know what else God could do to reveal His will, but I knew I didn't feel settled in my heart that it was God's will. And I can't explain why, but I just didn't. I've grown to love my job down there. I've grown to love my ministry down there. And there's people that became like family to us. And so I didn't want to just be hasty to leave that. We both didn't, but I just didn't feel settled in my heart. I didn't want this to be anything outside of God's will. And when we moved down there, my prayer was, God, if you ever move us from here, make it just as clear that you're moving us from here as you did for us to move down here, because I know we're in the center of your will, and this is where I want to be. So if you ever move us anywhere else, please make it just as clear. And He'd answered all my prayer requests. The church had voted unanimously. We had already determined that if there was a divided vote, that we would just take that as the Lord not in it. But it was unanimous. And I didn't know what else to ask the Lord to do. But I just knew that I wasn't settled in my heart. And I wrestled with it day in and day out. And it wasn't that I didn't want to come back. It's just that I wanted to make sure that I was in God's will. And I knew that if I step outside of God's will, that I could affect a lot of lives. And so I told my wife that I was going to fast and pray about it. And just so I took a day and I just fasted that whole day and prayed about it. Well, on my way into work, I opened my Bible app, and the verse of the day was Micah 6:8, which says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And here I am wondering what God's will is, and He says in His word, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And so right then I felt like God was speaking to me. And so, but I didn't feel like there was anything settled in my heart. But I felt like God was speaking to me through His word. And so I kept praying about it. And the more I prayed about it, one of my concerns was that I was so heavily involved in the ministry down there. What's going to happen when I leave? Who's going to replace me? There's nobody here that's going to replace me. But the last verse of that says to walk humbly with thy God. And humility is recognizing that God can use a donkey too. He doesn't need me. And that was a point in this journey that I had to come to, that God doesn't need me, and that He's chosen to use me, and that He can use anybody else. He can even use a donkey if He needs to. And so I kept praying about it, and a couple days later on Sunday morning I woke up and had my devotions. And one thing that my mentor Sheridan has always told me time and time again, as he said, "Samuel, whenever you're asking for God to show you His will, don't forget to listen to Him too." And I think sometimes we can tend to do that. We can pray and ask God, you know, for wisdom, ask God for this, ask God for that, and forget that we need to give Him opportunity to talk to us too. And so during my prayer time that morning, I just sat back in my chair and I said, "God, I want to give you opportunity to speak to me and to reveal your will to me." And so I sat back and it takes focus to clear your mind and to just keep it clear of wandering and just allow God to have opportunity to speak to you. So I was sitting there and all of a sudden Joshua 1:9 came to mind, which says, "Be strong. Have not I commanded thee? Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. whithersoever thou goest. And when that verse came to mind, I knew that God was speaking to me. And that it was right after that that I knew that God was confirming in my heart that this is what he wanted us to do. And it was like he was saying, didn't I already talk to you a couple days ago? And didn't I already command you? Haven't I already showed you what my will is? Be strong. Be confident in what I've shown you. And be of good courage. Don't be dismayed. Don't be disheartened. But be confident in what I've shown you. For I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And I knew that God was confirming his will at that point. And I didn't have any doubt anymore. Before I called Sheridan. I called different pastors that I respected and had listened to sermons on God's will. And they counseled me the best that they could. But after that point, I didn't have to ask anybody anymore because I knew what God's will was. And so that's how God has worked to bring about our moving here. And when he makes it clear what his will is, it's a lot easier to follow and a lot easier to transition several states away. And so we're looking forward to seeing what God has for us here. And God allowed us insight into the effect that we had on the youth group there at Trinity Baptist Church. We didn't move down there to be youth group leaders, but that was a need. And God opened up a door there, and that's a need that we fulfilled. And God allowed us a window into the teenagers' lives. They shared some testimonies with us on our last youth group outing of just ways in which God had used us to have an impact on their lives spiritually. And just blew our minds and just humbled us at the same time that God would use us. And so we know that God moved us down there for many purposes. And God has moved us back here for a purpose as well. And so we're looking forward to fulfilling that purpose and seeing what God has for us here and serving alongside of each of you.
All right. Thank you for sharing that. And gives a good background for the Finneran side there. We know what we went through, and we're trusting the Lord to show us the next steps here. So thank you for sharing that. All right. Anyone else? Any other testimonies? Anything else tonight? Don't see anybody jumping up. Okay, Mr. Margrath, Lillian, can you get the mic over there? Thanks.
Thank you, Samuel, for that testimony. We're certainly glad to have you back with us. I didn't get the opportunity to tell you that this morning. I'm thankful that I've been able to have a few visits with my dad here recently. And many people know here that my dad used to be a preacher, and he's falling away from the gospel. But in a great sense, he has brought his mind, God has brought his mind and his heart back to the Lord Jesus. And he has a much different perspective than he ever has before. He's not usually share with me these things. He's very, very tight-lipped about sharing spiritual things. And the last time I visited with him, he was much more open to sharing. He made the inroad to do the sharing, and so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to the Lord for that. And many people know that I lost my mom here recently. I think that's had an effect on him. And of course, they were married for almost 20 years, and I think he misses her. And he told me one time, he said he didn't think he ever would, and I understand his feelings about that, but I understand also the feelings about missing her. And so I'm very thankful that the church has prayed for him, and I just encourage the church to continue to pray for him. He's in a very, very difficult situation, His wife, who is much younger than he is having a lot of health problems. He himself is, 84 years old and not in the terrible best of health. And he's better health than she is. And so he's the primary household caregiver there, in addition to other family that she has that comes over often. So I just covet to the church's prayer for him. But I'm just thankful that the Lord has opened his heart and allowed him to talk to me.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies? Anything you'd like to share tonight? All right. Just mentioned for prayer, Herman Atkins, Stephanie Merfield's grandfather, they asked me to go see him this afternoon there at Knox Community as he seems to be declining pretty rapidly. Maybe he was able to talk quite a bit. I don't know if he was aware of all that he was saying, but he seemed to be speaking about forgiveness and just. Talking about Christ as well. So he has somewhat of a testimony there anyway. But just pray for the family there, the Adkins family, as their father seems to be declining. And also pray for Ed Jones. He has an MRI coming up this Tuesday on his kidney with a possible issue there. So pray for him as he is continuing to recover from some of those issues he had last month with the kidney stones, and pray for Ed Jones. Okay, anybody else? All right. Well, we'll sing one more hymn.
If you will, turn in your hymns to hymn number 334, and we'll sing Be Thou My Vision, hymn number 334.
Thank you.
invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. We're continuing on here with this study in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Chapter 8, we looked at a couple weeks ago, was a pivotal chapter where Israel demanded a king from Samuel. Remember, Samuel warned the people about the problems with this, spiritual problems. There'd be physical problems as well with what a king would do. And ultimately, God gave permission for their demand of a king. A king was within God's will. Many prophecies about a king over God's people. A scepter would not depart from Judah, for example. And God had in his plan a king, and yet there was something that wasn't quite right with this demand at this time for a king. It was wrong motives, we saw, wrong timing. And yet we see that sometimes God allows the desires of his people, the demands of his people, sometimes it's a consequence for them. But ultimately, it does accomplish God's purpose. You know, we can look at that decision for the people. They wanted a king. They wanted to be like the other nations. And we would say, well, there's something wrong with that. Yet God allowed that to happen. And yet we're reminded that God is not restricted even by the wrong demands of people. Think about Joseph again. He told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God is able to takes those wrong choices sometimes about being responsible for them and accomplishing his will through them. And so now in chapter 9, we are introduced to the king that will meet the demands of the people here. And so that person, of course, is Saul. Saul, that's who we're introduced to here. And how should we view Saul? There's some words that have been used to describe him. A villain, a tragic figure, a flawed ruler, a naive farm boy, a degenerate madman, a fate-driven pawn, a reluctant king. And there's probably some truth in all of those terms that have been used to describe Saul. And what we have with Saul is what you could call a complex character. You know, Saul is a guy you look at and sometimes see something that's really good, and other times you see something that's really bad with Saul. And he's just a mix of good and bad. And it's hard to nail Saul down with what's going on with him here. But we see here in this chapter Samuel's meeting of Saul, and we're introduced to Saul's background, first of all. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and in verse 1. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. There was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. So Saul's family is from the tribe of Benjamin. Kish is Saul's father. He is called a mighty man of power, evidently an influential man, Saul's father. Same term is used about Boaz. And so maybe he was wealthy, maybe he had a position, we don't know. But Saul's appearance is pointed out. He evidently was a tall, handsome man. And that's one of the first things that we're told about him, that he's taller than everyone else is. He has a goodly appearance, a choice young man. And we're told about this job that Saul was given by his father to go look for these donkeys that were lost. And Saul does that. His father instructed him to go and to find these lost donkeys, and Saul obeys. You know, we see here how the appearance of Saul is pointed out to us. And this comes up again when Saul is introduced to the people. His appearance is attractive. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with a person that is good looking. Don't know if there's anybody here tonight that fit that description, but Saul was this good looking guy, and Joseph was a man who is also described in those same terms. Good looking young man, Joseph, and we know Joseph turned out to be a pretty godly man. But we're going to see that Saul has some problems spiritually. And even though he looks like a really handsome guy who looked like a great king, we see that that's not all that God uses to evaluate by. So we just need to be reminded here right at the outset, we need to be careful that we don't make choices just by externals and how things look. And this is a point that's going to come up again in this book. We should not make choices purely because of how things look on the outside. God gave Israel a king what he knew they wanted. And we find that when God chooses a king that is what he wants, he evaluates a little bit differently. Later on, we're going to find that Samuel has to come and anoint another king. He comes to the house of Jesse and he sees all these young men, good-looking young men, and wow, that looks like the one, maybe. But God says, no, that's not the one. No, there's another one. He's out watching the sheep. And God says unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's the way that God evaluates. He looks at the heart. There was another Saul. There's another Saul in the Bible, in the New Testament. He's called Paul. People didn't have very good things to say about his outward appearance. Evidently, when the Apostle Paul came to speak in the church, it was not all that impressive. And Paul writes about that in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Paul was not like Saul of the Old Testament, this impressive-looking man. But yet, Paul of the New Testament had something that Saul of the Old Testament didn't have. He had a heart, spiritual qualities that made him very great. So we just need to make sure that we be careful that we don't make choices not just upon externals and how things look. Then we see Saul's search for donkeys here, verses 4 through 14. Saul goes after these lost donkeys. He's unsuccessful at first. He can't find them. He wants to go back home lest he worry his dad about where he is. But then the servant makes a suggestion here, verse 6. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring the man of God. What have we? The servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before a time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. So the servant makes this suggestion, let's go find this man of God, see if he can help us. Turns out, we'll find out that's Samuel, that's Prophet Samuel. And they come to the city and they meet these young maidens, verses 11 through 14, that are drawing water. They ask about the seer. The young maidens say, verse 12, they answered him and said, "He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him." And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, and behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. So the maidens give this direction, you're going to find him before he goes up to the high place. And they meet Samuel as they go into the city. What a coincidence! They're searching for these donkeys. They decide to go find this man of God. These young maidens, they say, "Here's where you can find him." And sure enough, they run right in to Samuel. This is an important meeting. There may have been some people at this point who would really be ambitious to try to become the king that Israel is demanding. Maybe some people have found out about this demand that God has allowed. And there might be somebody who would say, "Hey, I want to be that man. I want to be the king." But then you see Saul, and what is Saul doing? He's looking for donkeys. And in the course of that, he just happens to run into Samuel and find out that it's this meeting that leads to the anointing of King Saul. Okay, Saul does not seem to be an ambitious man at this point. This was not a coincidence. There are no coincidences in life. There are no coincidences. God's plan and his purposes are being worked out. It may be just a meeting of somebody you're not expecting to meet, a change in the weather that changes your plans, a sickness that comes into your life. These are not just coincidences. God is working out his plan here, just like he's doing here with Saul. We see also a reminder that we need to be faithful in the little things of life. We need to be faithful in the little things of life. Saul, his dad just told him to go find the lost donkeys. Go find these lost donkeys. Maybe they were a part of the business somehow, the farm or something like that. And Saul says, "Okay, I'll go try to find the lost donkeys." What if Saul had not done that? What if he said, "I don't want to do that. That's boring. I don't want to go find the lost donkeys." Well, he was just, doing something that was very basic and ordinary in life. He obeyed his dad. He had a choice to make, and he did what his dad had asked him to do. And in the course of that search for lost donkeys, he gets anointed king. I don't know that anybody's wanting to be anointed king, but the point is just be faithful to do the basic things of life. Obey your mom and dad, boys and girls. That's what Saul was doing, and he was a lot older than most of you here tonight, but he was still helping out there. But God works greatly many times in the ordinary things of life. We also need to continue to believe that God will have his way. God had a plan here for Saul to become the next king. And God was, and Saul was looking for donkeys. God caused that donkey search to be the thing that brought Saul to Samuel. And God can work in someone's life that is not even thinking of what God's will is. And God can bring that person in line with what it is that he wants them to do, and they may not even be aware of it. With Saul, aware of this at all? It doesn't seem like he was. He was just doing an ordinary thing, and God was working in his life to bring him into the right position there to meet Samuel so that he could be anointed king. He can bring a person in line with what he wants for them. And maybe there's someone even right now that that God is doing that with, and they don't know that. They have no idea. But God is putting them in that position just by them doing a basic thing in life. And God is actually working in that. God will have his way. God will have his way. And then that brings us to this meeting with Samuel. Saul's meeting with Samuel. We see God actually predicted this meeting. Verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me." So God predicted this to Samuel. He said, here's what's going to happen. This man from Benjamin is going to come. You're going to anoint him. And notice that reason again. "For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me." And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people." So in Sunday school here lately, we've been reminded about the covenants that God made with Abraham, the patriarchs, and how that those covenants are unconditional. God made certain promises to Abraham about making of him a great nation, giving them a land, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And we've seen how that God is intent upon fulfilling those covenants. And it doesn't depend on anybody else but God. And we see that throughout the scriptures, you know, many times God's people reject him. That's what they had just done. And God had said to Samuel, you know, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And yet here in chapter 9, we see that God is saying that he's looking upon his people, and their cry is come unto him. You know, why would God continue to listen to people that have rejected him? Well, I think one reason is because of the covenants that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He hasn't completely cast them away. You know, if we were God, we would probably say, "That's it, I'm done with Israel. I'm not going to help them anymore." But God is committed to Israel. He's committed to keep those promises to him, to them. And there's still more to come with those promises, as we've been learning in Sunday school with the end times prophecy, keeping those covenants that he made with Israel. But God is a compassionate God. And when we're in trouble, when we're crying out for help, he's aware of that. And we should cry out to God when we're in trouble. We should. Maybe there's somebody that you're thinking of, or you know, or maybe it's you, and you've made choices that amount to rejecting God. That's what Israel just done. You know, that person can still cry out to God. And God may have compassion and help them. You know, I think about the story Jesus told of the prodigal son. That son went away, spent his inheritance, and then he decided he's going to return and go back to his father. And the Bible tells us that son came back and he said, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father says to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. God is a compassionate God, and he's dealing with his people compassionately here, even with this King Saul. And we see Samuel's introduction to Saul. He reveals himself as the seer, verse 19. Tells him about the donkeys, they're safe. And Saul's response to this meeting here, well, verse 20, look at that. "As for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house?" And Saul answered and said, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" Saul seems completely unaware. He doesn't seem like a man who's trying to seize power. But God had led Samuel to Saul. And this was God's direction here. And Samuel's trying to explain that to Saul. This is the direction you're headed now. And then we see Samuel's kindness that he shows to Saul. He takes Samuel to dinner. We're told about this dinner here, and he takes Saul to next. Verse 22, "Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, Bring the portion which I give thee, of which I said unto thee, Set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, Behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat, for unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day." So he takes them into this this place where everyone's eating, 30 people there or so, and gives them the best place. He tells the cook to bring the shoulder, part of the meat there, a special part, gives that to Saul. And shows him this kindness here. And then he has a conversation with Saul. He takes him up to the top of the house. Verse 25, "When they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul up to the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. So they have a conversation there on the top of the house. Maybe it was Samuel's house. They had a roof where you could go up and, have another living area up there. And he's telling him probably about what God has said, about God's will for Saul, that he become king. And Saul is processing all of this probably. And he gets ready to anoint him. That's what chapter 10 is about, the anointing of Saul. But just notice the kindness that Samuel shows to Saul. Shows him some kindness. That just reminds us that we should honor, show kindness to people that God has chosen. David will do the same thing when he interacts with Saul. He recognizes that this was one that God had chosen. And I think Samuel recognizes that now. God has very clearly told him this is going to be the king. This is Saul. And so he begins to show him kindness. We should show kindness and honor those whom God has chosen. They may be the ones that God has chosen for your brothers and sisters. You say, I know, I didn't choose any of them. But they are the ones that God has chosen to be in your family. And you should be kind to them. They may be the ones God has chosen for your classmates or the ones God has chosen for your coworkers, your bosses. If God is clearly chosen, then we should do our part to honor and respect those people. That's what Samuel's doing here, I think. But God told Samuel about Saul, and he led him very clearly and said, this is the one that's going to be the king, the captain of my people. And all throughout Israel's history, God would do that time and time again. And ultimately, he would do that to Jesus Christ. Also, ultimately, he raises up the king. That's where this is all going. That's what the this office in Israel is pointing to. The throne is pointing to the one who will sit on that throne forever, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is one who will never fail and disappoint, like Saul did. And he is the king that his people Israel need to look to. One day he will rule over Israel in the millennium, as we've been learning. The literal kingdom on this earth where Christ reigns from Israel. And everyone will come and worship him. And for the church today, Jesus Christ is our head. And the Bible tells us that he rules over all, even right now. And he's given to us as our head, as the head of the church. And so all of this is pointing to Jesus Christ, even though we see the failures and the problems with the people along the way. But God let the people have their king. He was a second choice in a sense. And yet God was clearly in control. And letting the people have their king did not mean that his plan had failed. And it's hard to make sense of all of that. Maybe they meant it for evil. Maybe they had wrong motives. They did. Wrong timing, wrong motives to have a king at that time. But we see that in the midst of all of that, God can take those bad choices and use them for good. That's what God is able to do. And he does it all the time. And so we can trust God, even when it seems like the second or the third choice is coming to our lives for whatever reason, we can still trust the Lord that his plan will be accomplished and his will be done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're in control. And Lord, we see that oftentimes your people make choices that are not what you would want. And you try to warn us against those things. And yet we thank you that you're a sovereign God, that you're in control, and that what men mean for evil, you can work out for good. And we thank you for that. We pray that you'd help us to trust you and to live for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close with number 261, Trust and Obey. 261, let's all stand as we sing. Number 261. coming tonight. May the Lord bless you. We're dismissed.